Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
So you've got a secret. Well, we have $100. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. The truth will set you free. How do we do this, Kristen?
All right, so you call us up, 1-855-BURT-SHOW, 855-237-8746. And you tell us something that you've held into the vault of your of your mind, of your heart, of your soul. And you go ahead and tell us this deep, dark secret. The truth will set you free, and we'll also put $100 in your pocket if we think it's legit and if we think it's worthy.
All right, we'll put you on the voice disguiser so it can still somewhat remain a secret. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. You can start lining up right now. In the meantime, Mo asks me an interesting question, a random one this morning that I didn't even think about.
Don't hit yourself so hard. I was like, jeez.
Double concussion. Uh-huh. He's like, what do you think of Pittsburgh? I'm like, what? What do you mean, what do I think of Pittsburgh? I'm like, yeah, I've been once, and it actually kind of surprised me. I don't know what I was expecting, but first of all, I love Pennsylvania as a state. I don't think that you'll find nicer people in any state outside of Philadelphia.
The city of brotherly love?
No. but Pittsburgh itself, I found on the trip that, remember, we had a Burt's Big Adventure that threw the first pitch out at a Pirates game. Mm-hmm. So I went into Pittsburgh. I watched this whole thing go down. I was shocked. Downtown area, at least. Clean, fun, restaurants, bars, people were nice. I'm like, why are you planning on going to Pittsburgh? Are you going to meet your girl there halfway or something?
So the reason is I've been somewhat on the hook about the future of my parents, the immediate future of my parents, because my dad is head of security for Russell Wilson and Sierra. And so obviously Russell, once he was released from the Broncos, it was kind of a question of where was he going to go. There was several teams that he was trying to decide. Behind the scenes, I already kind of had the inkling that he was going to choose Pittsburgh, but I was still holding out that he would choose Atlanta so my parents can live in the same state as me for the first time, and I don't know how long. That would have been great.
So the plan was your mom, wherever your dad went, mom was moving with.
Yeah, so Initially my dad was under the impression that he was going to take off, and then my mom was going to still hold it down in Colorado, and my dad would just come home when he can, and my mom was like, that's cute. That's not happening. We're going together wherever you're going. So he finally signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers for 1 year. It's official. And then at that point, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to be visiting Pittsburgh for the first time ever. And so that's why I asked Bert what your thoughts of Pittsburgh was.
It's surprising. It's surprisingly, it's a great city.
Never been.
I never heard bad things. I never heard good. I just never really heard much of anything. So I just had like no idea what to expect.
What's so funny, because my sister-in-law is from Pittsburgh, and she and my brother are like, they're there right now. She went to go visit her family over the weekend. So the timing is, yeah. All I know about Pittsburgh is, don't they have a lot of bridges?
Yeah, the yellow ones. It's really pretty. I don't know what mountain I came out of and got this beautiful view of Pittsburgh as you come out of it, this tunnel. But there all those bridges are right by the stadium. And, dude, they'll have a great time. I can't say anything like outside of Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh itself's great, man.
I'm looking forward to it. New place to visit. You know, good shout out to my parents. They doing their thing, and they up and moving. They're not even wasting much time. So this thing is happening fast.
These are the things you don't think about as a sports fan. When somebody gets traded, you're like, oh, okay, they're just going to pick up and they're going to go to another city. But that's tough on a family right there, man. And then you've got people around you also that are going to have to move as well. That is not an easy year.
How do your sisters feel about it?
That's a good question. I haven't spoken to them too in much detail about it. I know one of them is excited because that's just the way, like, she lives. She's ready to move at any point. She's always looking. She was going to move to California, and then that didn't work out. So I think she's excited. The other one, I'm not so sure, because I know they're going to stay in Colorado. They're not going to move, and they'll be without my parents for, like, I've been for a while, so it'll probably be an adjustment for them, and I didn't even think to ask.
All right, the call's coming in for the truth. We'll set you free. We got a solid batch.
We always do.
That's all I'm saying. It's a solid batch today. 1-855-BIRCHO. You have a secret. Maybe you've never told anybody before. You tell us. If we believe you, we will give you $100. All right, voice disguise are fired up. Good morning, Linda. You are on the Burt Show. The truth will set you free.
Good morning. So I used to work at a T-shirt warehouse, and I was dating this guy. And randomly, he just broke up with me one day, no explanation. And literally the next day, he was dating this girl that was a temp there. And so he would constantly, like, be affectionate with her in front of me, but he worked in the warehouse and I worked in the office. So he would like come in and they'd be kissing and hugging on each other like they were intentionally trying to tick me off.
Rue.
So every time he did that, I'd pee in his Gatorade.
Hey, yo!
That escalated
for months.
Linda, you did this for months?
Oh, yeah. I did this constantly. Like every time he did it, I peed in his Gatorade.
Yo!
You're going to ask me my feelings?
Wow. And he never, ever, ever realized it for months that it tasted a little weird.
Nope. She ended up getting fired because, like, I told my boss I was going to quit because I just couldn't deal with it. Like, it was just so mean. They were so mean and hurtful about it.
Wow.
And being that she was a temp and I was not, I was, like, the head office person. Yeah, but it went on for months.
All right.
I'm assuming it was the lemon-lime flavor.
It was. Yeah, he always had, he did. He That's the only flavor he ever drank, coincidentally. But, I was just like, all right, you know.
Sure.
Linda, when we say you peed in the, like, how much urine are we talking about here?
What do you think, she measured it?
One of them, like, little cups that you, like, have in the bathroom or whatever.
A little Dixie cup worth?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kristen wants a diagram.
Did
you blend it? Did you shake it?
Or you more of a swirl? Was it shaken, not stirred?
Yeah, we got questions.
It's not like violently shaking it or anything.
Oh my God. She just make a little cocktail. Just going to shake her out.
All right, Linda, hold on one second.
He would always have it in there. It would be open. Like, I would never mess with it if it hadn't been opened yet. But he would, like, drink some, put it back in the fridge, you know, for later or whatever. So it was so easy to get away with.
God bless him.
$100 there.
Wow.
Sure.
Again, we don't condone any of this behavior, but we find it highly entertaining.
Lindsay, good morning. You are on the Burt Show. Yours has to do with a drug dealer.
Yeah, good morning. I'm, like, shaking because I've never told anybody this before. But I was 18 and I was dating this guy. He was not a great person. He was a drug dealer. And he somehow convinced me to rob this guy of his backpack, which had $40,000 in it.
So your drug dealer boyfriend basically coerced you into robbing somebody?
So this guy he was meeting up with, he had a backpack, had all the money in it. I took the backpack and essentially, like, ran away.
Oh, so you were, like, an accessory to the robbery.
Yep. I feel so much better about that. I said it out loud.
So I'm assuming you never got caught. Your drug dealer boyfriend never got caught. And please tell me you're still not with him.
No.
Okay.
Like 10 years ago.
Okay.
He kind of got caught, but not me.
All right. Well, your conscience is clean, and we'll give you $100, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Oh, you got some good ones cooking today.
Wow, you were not lying.
Does she really need her $100 if she robs someone for $40,000?
Well, it was 10 years ago, and I'm assuming the drug dealer boyfriend probably kept it all.
That's true.
Yep.
Kelly wants to be on the voice disguiser. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Hey, good morning. When I was 18, my friend, she's actually one of my best friends. Her dad was 36, super hot. I didn't know him when I was younger, but I met her in high school. I had sex with him.
You had sex with your best friend's dad?
Yes.
All right, that's good.
And we carried on a relationship for like almost a year after that, and she had no idea.
Dang. Whoa. And you were 18 at the time?
Yep.
Whoa.
I was 18. He was 36. He was only 36.
Now, I'm assuming he was not, like, her parents were divorced.
Oh, yes, they were divorced.
Okay. Because you're about to up the ante on that one.
Right, we're about to go to 200 on that one.
I was going to ask you if he was married if you double it up.
Yes, you get $100 for that. And then here is Terry. Man. Good morning, Terry. The truth will set you free. A secret for $100.
My soon-to-be ex-husband, I did a DNA test on him and found out that my grandson is his son. So he's going to get divorce papers and DNA results all the same day.
We're going to have to digest this one. All right, one more time with this.
My husband is getting divorce papers and DNA results from where I did a DNA test on my grandson to prove that he was actually his father.
All right, so it's not your grandson, it's your husband's son. So who did your husband sleep with to turn your grandson into his son?
My daughter.
Hey, yo.
Woo!
Whoa.
I mean, like, that took my breath away.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Imagine what it did to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll give you $200 for this one.
Can you process that?
We're all sitting here clutching our pearls.
Yeah.
We don't have pearls on.
We want to cover the cost of the DNA test and then give you some.
Serious.
Thanks. That's a good one for Abby's breakup breakdown, huh?
Yeah.
Do you want to come on today? Dead ass. You hit me up, Abby@thebirdshow.com. We'll talk today.
Terry, would you go on that podcast?
Abby, I already sent you an email, baby.
There you go.
Okay, let's chat today. You're coming on tomorrow.
Abby cleared the whole schedule. Let's do it.
Hold on one sec, Terry. I'll take one more here.
Do we dare? Do we even dare take another one? Like,
Only because I see potential for a next step on this one for additional cash.
Okay.
It'll be obvious in a second.
Okay.
Hey, Jared, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you? Okay, the truth is going to set you free for $100. What do you got?
So when I was 14 or 15, I'm 23 now. When I was 14 or 15, me and a group of friends, we were pulling out of my driveway, and me and my parents had identical matching Toyota trucks. And we were pulling out of the driveway real quickly to go grab some food, and I may or may not have had a little accident and hit the bumper of my parents' truck.
Okay.
So I kept it on the down low. Didn't say anything as a kid would do. And I went to school the next day and I got a notification on Facebook that my mom made a Facebook post and had said, whoever hit my car with an Ingalls shopping cart, I will find out. I will look at the cameras and I will press charges. And, you know, to this day, I never heard anything about it. I never said anything.
Mm-hmm.
She does listen to the Birch, though, so she puts two and two together. She might figure it out.
So to this day, she doesn't know. Here's where I up the ante. I give you $500.
Okay.
If, when we come back in 10 minutes, you allow us to call your mom and you confess to your mom what happened those years ago.
Oh, man.
You should have saw this one coming.
Oh, I should have. Oh, no.
You don't have to take it.
You
but
don't.
There it is, $500 right here. You can do it in 10 minutes. Clear your conscience.
Clear your conscience. What's she going to do, ground you?
Yeah.
I really can't. She's got a lot going on right now.
Okay, then don't do it.
Okay.
I just couldn't do it.
Okay. All right. I've got some wise decisions.
Then $100.
Yeah, he gets the $100.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jared, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. You got $100, all right?
Of course. Thank y'all. Y'all have a wonderful morning.
Okay. That's a one-time deal, too, Jared. Don't be calling me back in a couple of weeks.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Kate Middleton is responding to the botched Photoshop job the Palace posted of her and her kids, and I am shocked that this is the route they're taking. But before we get into that, I just have to say, we did the Truth Will Set You Free segment about 10 minutes ago, if you missed it. Terry, if you're still listening, I know you said you emailed me. I cannot find it, and I want to talk to you about how your husband got your daughter pregnant. So please, please, please hit me up. up. I really want to talk to you today.
Well, we probably have her phone number because we're giving her $100.
Oh, perfect. So Tommy, slide that. Okay, anyway, back to my actual job. So Kate Middleton is responding to this photo that they post over the weekend, trying to show proof of life that she is in fact okay, because there are rumors going around that she got a BBL, that she's running off with Pete Davidson, all these crazy stories. So there's this picture. It's Kate Middleton in the middle and then her three kids around her. And people notice very quickly that there's some obvious photo editing mistakes. I think one of their kids has like his fingers crossed over one of the other, and it's like this massive finger that doesn't look right on his hand. There's some weird editing marks on Charlotte's sleeve to where you can tell someone tried to like shave a little bit off, or maybe it was inputted from another photo and then placed in, basically making it look very sus, very sketchy, that this actually isn't a photo that they took and that it's actually just a plot point to make the audience or the general public shut up about the fact that we want to know where Kate Middleton is.
Well, I mean, she had to post something because it was Mother's Day in the UK, and they post something every single year. She's a mother in the UK. She gave birth to the future king. They're going to have to do a post, right? The thing to me... the excuse that you're about to get to is classic, and it is so bizarre, but the fact she's not wearing her wedding ring.
Oh, yeah. That is a little strange, especially because, well...
Maybe she went to one of those Brazilian steakhouses, and it just didn't fit right the next day.
Oh, she was a little on the swollen side from all the sodium?
From all the sodium.
I almost wonder, so because there were so many editing mistakes, I almost wonder if maybe she had just taken it off, maybe it was getting cleaned or whatever, because to me, I don't think the palace is going to soft launch their breakup. Do you know what I mean? I feel like, I mean, I would like to think they're a little bit more calculated than that, but the photo really is... messed up.
Yeah, but the fact that if you're going to post, like, this is, official royal on her royal page, whatever, her hands, it was, like, pointedly, the way she had her hands wrapped around the kid, like, it was so obvious whether or not there was going to be a ring on that finger. And there's not the Princess Diana blue engagement ring that William gave her, nor is there a wedding band. There was nothing.
Didn't she have some kind of procedure done, though, recently?
She did.
Sometimes they make you, like, take that jewelry off.
Because you swell.
Because you swell, so maybe that has something to do with it.
That's actually a legitimate theory.
But see, the thing is, the palace puts everything under a magnifying glass, generally, before things go out. They've said that before. This photo was doctored so much, the AP issued, the Associated Press issued a kill notice on it and told publications to pull it because it was so heavily doctored, and there would be, like, they couldn't, there was no journalistic integrity behind it.
And Abby, tell everybody who doctored it.
Kate Middleton. So she put out a statement and said, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we share yesterday caused. And then, of course, wished everybody a happy Mother's Day.
I would have never guessed that she edits her own photos that go out on social. I still don't believe that.
She's an avid photographer. That is a passion of hers, and you'll see a lot of the photos put out by the account are taken by her, and that could be legitimately it. Also, if you look at all three kids, they're all open mouth smiles and laughing, and any parent knows getting a picture of your kids looking perfect like that is hard. Mm-hmm. So they might have like put three photos or a few photos together and merged them all to get that, but then just say that. Like, say, hey, this is an image made out of two different ones. Because the kid, people wouldn't freak out about it. But when the world is watching and you release something that's so heavily doctored and she looks nothing like she did in the car photos from last week or whatever, where people are like, oh, she's been spotted out and about. You have just solidified people's conspiracy theories and you've made it worse.
Well, especially because you said everything gets looked at under a microscope. I don't understand how this photo even got approved, because Twitter got on it like ASAP, like the moment it got posted, that's all I saw people talking about. People had already made memes out of it. I had to like go back and find the context because it had taken off so quickly.
The only way it probably got approved, though, is if Kate actually did Photoshop it and sent it, was like, here, you can post this. They're going to assume like the princess is signing off on it because she's the one who sent it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they should have like, don't they have PR people for this?
You would think so.
It just makes no sense that they're literally the royal family. Anyway, we'll definitely think twice before you post a video of a concert online, because it could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, because Bad Bunny is suing a fan for $150,000 because he's making money off of some of his most wanted tour videos. So yeah, definitely be careful, especially if you're going to the Eras tour. I'm sure Taylor will come for your ass. People are saying one of the most popular reality shows on Netflix is ruined for them after they heard this rumor about one of the fan faves. We'll talk about it on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Shannon needs our help here. She wants to track down somebody she used to date, and she's been listening to The Burt Show for a while. She's heard what our show director, Tommy, does behind the scenes, finding people, and she's like, I could use his services. Hey, Shannon, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Morning, okay. Who are we talking about, and why are you so connected to this guy? Or is it a woman?
No. So it is a guy that I dated. Met him back in 2018, 19. I can't remember which year exactly. But, yeah, we dated for a little while, and then kind of things kept happening, and he took a job in China. And so the relationship didn't last, and COVID happened. Good morning. COVID happened, and then I never heard from him. Like, he was at the emergency room one day, and he was like, I'm here with a friend, brought a friend. But knowing him, he's kind of the guy that would be like, not want me to worry, so wouldn't really tell me if it was him or not. So anyway, I've never heard from him. I've had other friends reach out to him that still have him on Facebook. I've emailed him, tried to call him, and I just wonder if he ever made it out from being over in China during COVID.
See how China is disrupting everything in this country.
Right? First TikTok, I heard y'all talking
about we were talking about TikTok earlier, and now it's this relationship here. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So I'm missing a couple of pieces of the pie here, some info. So you guys are going out with each other for how long now?
It wasn't a really long time. It was maybe over a 6 month span.
And the last time you talked to him, he's at like an emergency room or something?
Yes, the last time I talked to him, he sent me a picture of a crab on a chair. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm at the ER with a friend. And I was like, is everything okay? And he was like, yeah, some heart issues. And so he never elaborated. I never heard from him again after that at all. And so I don't know. I mean, the relationship had already started to like fizzle out because of the distance, the time change, you know, I mean, difference in the time and everything, being able to keep the relationship going.
Yeah.
He was gone. You know, he was gone. He was in China. So how is that going
to
work?
So my question, I guess, that obvious one is, why would you even want to reach out to this dude? I mean, he ghosts you while, and that's the end of it, while he's going into ER or something, or maybe that was a weird way of him telling you he has crabs? I don't know.
That's a good twist on that, though.
I mean, but why would you want to get in touch with him if he so clearly is, like, not interested and ghosted you and then left for China?
I don't know. I guess I didn't really take it as a ghost. I wasn't trying to hold on too tight to the relationship because we were 10 years apart. I couldn't have any more kids. And he still had the opportunity to, and he was never really clear on whether or not he was okay with not ever having kids. So I was kind of like self-sabotaging and, you know, was like, well, you need to go out there and find somebody that you can have kids with. You know, you're missing out on having kids. And so was my fault. But now I'm kind of like, well, did I miss the one? Because he was a good one. Like, did I let him, you know, let that good one get away?
So it wasn't so much a ghost as it was like a mutual parting of the ways. But now he's back in your head and your heart and you're like, kind of, what if?
Yeah, I am. I'm like, what if, and did he do it? I would like to know that he did. I think I would feel better, I guess. And it's just my own kind of place in life that I'm at that I kind of feel like I need some peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense for myself.
Sure.
And I know you mentioned that maybe he wouldn't be the happiest to hear from you directly because of the way things went down. So is that also a piece that has been plaguing on your conscience since this has all happened?
Yeah, I also thought that maybe he wouldn't respond back to the attempts that I've made because he just was like, well, done, you know, just done. Because some people are just like that.
What do you think here, Abby?
I'm on board with this. I think the universe sometimes puts people in our heads and thoughts in our minds. And like, have you ever been like thinking about somebody for a while and all of a sudden you randomly get like a text or a call from them? Like, I think like on a universal level, like there's a wavelength out there, and I sound like I've taken some kind of edible speaking about the universe this way. But like, I really do think if you are thinking about him, he's probably thinking about you too. So I'm excited to see where this is going to go, because I think chances are he's probably got you on his mind as well.
That is a very romantic notion right there, that if you're thinking of somebody
somebody they are thinking about you, but I want to assure you that that is probably not the case.
Yeah, most men that I'm thinking about usually aren't thinking about me, but you know what? I'm willing to give you more hope. Tommy.
You hope alive, Abby.
It's okay. It's okay either way.
Tommy, did you do some digging?
Yeah, I have so far, and she had his name, obviously, and where he had worked, and I looked on the website, and I found out his dad is actually the CEO of the company, so at least I feel like I can find out if he's alive. I just tried calling the company, and nobody was answering, and they are on the East Coast, so that's a little weird.
I did a little digging, too. And I can tell you that the Mandarin word for ghost is gui, and you have been gui'd.
No, no.
He is in China, and you have been gui'd.
Let's hope that's what you're saying anyway.
She agrees to disagree.
If he found someone over there, and he's happily ever after, you know, and everything, that's totally cool. But it's just, I don't know, it's just, I just need some kind of peace of mind because it just keeps staying in my head and in my heart.
All right, Tommy, you want to do a little digging here over the next 24, see what we can find?
Yeah, and I did find his name under some tax records, so it looks like he did pay his taxes, like, in the past year or so. it looks like he may be alive, but I'll try and find out more, and we'll get back to you.
Okay. It's also June over there, so there's a bit of a time difference. So give us a couple of days to work on it, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Get it. The Bird Show.
Claire from Friday, because Claire, we helped out with the texting tutor. You remember this, Kristen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wanted to text her twin sister's ex-boyfriend. You heard me right. Her twin sister's ex-boyfriend, and make a move on him and see if he would want to go out. She didn't mince words. She's not a huge fan of her twin sister. They do not get along. She does feels like her twin sister doesn't treat people kindly, and definitely didn't treat this ex kindly, and thought that she could do the relationship justice. So we reached out and we took our best shot, and we struck out because apparently he and the twin sister are back together again.
Yep.
So we had to tuck our tail between our legs and run away as fast as we could. We tried to end it on a light note by sending a funny gif, making fun of ourselves for even doing this. So now we got to find out if he even said something to the twin sister, or if just hopefully everybody's just going to mind their business and move about like there's nothing to see here.
Ooh, I doubt that.
Well, the good news is this guy now knows he's got a backup plan if it doesn't work out with this girl. And he's got the twin sister in the back pocket. Our fear was that he wasn't going to be able to keep this a secret from her twin sister. I was going to say something about it over the weekend, which would have been really nasty. Hey, Claire, welcome back. I think Claire might have been Gweed. Claire, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
There you go. Hi.
So I'm so sorry. I feel so humiliated right now. I've just been so upset.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, my sister knows that I tried to ask her ex out, and or her no longer ex-boyfriend, as she put it. And basically, her first text to me was, nice try.
Ooh,
okay.
Yeah. Followed by, why would you think that he would ever be interested in you? You're boring. Yeah.
Okay, to be fair, Claire, You did try to go out with her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she is boring.
No, I was not going to say that. To be fair, she has a good point. But
well, she's not
like,
boring. I mean, she clearly made a move on her sister's ex. That's far from boring. That's not boring.
That's a fair point.
I would say that's the antithesis of boring. But, like, her responding to you, nice try. Like, of course, your sister is going to feel a certain way and be snarky because you tried to make a move on her ex or what you thought was her ex.
I just can't stand her.
I know.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
You guys don't know. You just have no idea. But, I mean, I'm more humiliated. I'm not even hurt at this point. You know, she thinks insulting me is going to, like, upset me. But it doesn't. I don't know. She's like, oh, you know, why would he ever want you? You're so boring. If anything, he would go out with you because it reminds him of me. You know, all that jazz. And I basically said, I hope you realize, like, how awful you are to him, and he's a fool for giving you a second chance. And that's how I feel. That is genuinely how I feel. They're so bad for each other, and he's an idiot for going back with her.
So I'm going to break off into a sidebar conversation here. At one point or another, you and your sister probably got along, but there's, like, it feels like there's real hatred here. What happened between the two of you guys?
You know what? It started when we were much younger. She's always been competitive with me. Like, I happen to be more outgoing. She claims I'm boring, but that's totally not true. I've always been the one that's a little more popular, more outgoing. I've always done a little bit better in school, you know, that kind of thing. And so because I think people would praise me, she always felt like she had to prove herself and prove herself and prove herself. And so I'm just being me, and she's trying to be me. And so, I don't know, she just started, like, being mean to me instead of just supporting me, embracing me. And I've always told her, like, hey, I'll tutor you, or hey, come out with me and my friends. She isolated herself, and she's become a total bitch. I don't know if I'm allowed to say bitch on the radio, but she's a bitch. And, you know, I'm sorry, but, like, you know, that's what's happened. So it's been something that has boiled up for years. And then once we got into high school, obviously it started getting worse. And then college, it was like just the ultimate divide. And my parents know, everybody knows, like, we're two very different people. So whenever people are like, oh my God, you have a twin, like, that doesn't mean we're besties.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there's all sorts of tension when you guys are around the family anyway, but now with you making the move for the twin sister's ex and that not working out, I don't know how you guys can be in a room. All the family members can be in a room together anymore.
I mean, I can with my head high. I can. I'm humiliated in the sense of, like, I don't regret what I did. I'm humiliated because he went back and told her and probably painted this other picture of me. And, like, yeah, it always sucks to be kind of denied. Well, that's where I'm humiliated. But I don't mind being in a room with her because they're together or I knew and I was, like, going after him.
Well, hold on a second, Claire.
She, like, basically cheated on him emotionally. Like, she tore him up. So I was trying to not save the day, but, like, I knew he was heartbroken, but she weaseled her way back in the way she always does. So.
All right. Like, I'm not trying to make this more spicy, but don't play the victim here. I mean, you're the one that reached out to him, right? So for you to say, oh, I can't believe that he told her, you're the one that made that first move. So you're not the victim in this whole situation.
But I am. You have no idea how she's treated me over the years.
Correct. In this particular, that you are 100% validated. If your sister has treated you that way your entire life, for sure. But in this situation with her boyfriend, you have to take ownership of yourself, you know, putting yourself out there and then him telling her, like, it was a risk versus reward kind of situation. Now, as far as your sister, you know, treating you poorly, then yes, by all means, you're validated in your feelings.
Especially with this whole competitiveness thing that you said that y'all have always had going on. You got to see how it's going to be taken as if you are simply trying to one up your sister as opposed to you were trying to do the right thing by him.
Mm-hmm. All right, Claire, let us know how it plays out. Okay.
I will, but can I just leave you with one thing?
Sure.
Because this is how she left me. She didn't respond for a long time, and then she sent me a list of the last five guys she dated with their phone numbers and said, here's a list of my castaways. Maybe you'll have better luck. That's what I'm dealing with, guys.
That is kind of fun. That is petty.
Right, with a capital P.
Oh, yeah. It's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
So we are now taking nominations. If you got yourself or had yourself an ugly baby, it's about to pay off in $1,000. Thank you guys for allowing us to do this. We put a poll up saying, look, is this too much for you guys? Are we in too much of a PC world now to do something like this? And you're like, oh, no, bring on the ugliness. So here we are.
Like over 70% of you are like, yes, please do this. And so we are doing it. Our Busted Baby Bracket. Go to theburtshow.com to submit your submission. So this picture.
Submit your submission.
Yes.
Yes.
So this picture has to be 3 months old or younger, can be a picture of you when you were a baby or a picture of your child. You cannot be sending pictures of rando babies you Google imaged or a friend's baby. That's just cruel.
Even a family member.
No.
Even this is your niece or nephew.
No.
No, you can't do that.
Absolutely not. And Bert has said too, dads, before you go submitting your ugly babies, might want to check with the wifey before you do that. Make sure you have a united front on, you know, scoring this $1,000 with your ugly baby.
Yeah, don't assume your wife's going to think that's funny.
That could go bad.
So go to theburtshow.com. You have through Thursday to go ahead and submit, and then we're going to start the voting next week.
I feel sorry for women who, for men. I feel sorry for men who cheat on their wives. Some have no choice.
Said who?
Me.
Okay.
That's what we call a tease.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're about to walk out on that plank all by yourself.
Hell no. So I'm wondering if some of you guys can attach yourself to this. So this came from an escort, right? She says that she feels sorry for some of the men that cheat on their wives with her. She says some of them have no choice at all. So, Cassie, grab a mic because this one's going to fire you up. Shauna Rivers, she's an escort. She said 60% of her clients have wives, and she feels bad for them.
She feels bad for the men, or she feels bad for the wives?
The men. Her quote, the worst case of loneliness is when you are surrounded by people, or in this case, a partner, and you feel lonely inside the relationship. I think that it's worse than being officially single and lonely. She continues, and as for why lads break their vows, she added, there are all sorts of reasons, but I really feel bad for those people who tell me that they have kids with their wives, and since they don't have a sex life, there is no intimacy whatsoever. She goes on to say, your lover, your girlfriend, your best friend turns into a mother, and she is not wanting to sleep with you anymore. They don't want to have any intimacy at all. And she says it must be so difficult for the man because you love your wife, you love your kids, you love your home, but there's something missing. Traditionally, the only person that you are supposed to have intimacy from is your wife, but what happens when your wife denies it from you? What are you supposed to do? That's her question. 1-855-BIRD.
This is one of those statements that's so hard to argue with because there's so much fact in it. Like, I do think being lonely in a relationship, there's already, we've seen headlines, there's a loneliness epidemic, especially for men. And then being lonely in your relationship is such an isolating feeling. Mm-hmm. If you can afford an escort, you can afford couples therapy.
Ooh.
If you can afford an escort, you can afford a maid service to help your wife out, who's probably doing the majority of the stuff around the home, which is why she's tired and doesn't feel like sleeping with you. You can use some of that money to better your relationship. And that's where I have this issue. I feel bad for the men who are lonely in their relationships. I don't feel bad for the men who choose to step outside of the marriage without trying to fix it first. And no one is sticking you in that marriage. You can leave. You can divorce your wife if you've tried, if you've brought up that you felt lonely, if you've actually talked about your feelings, mm-hmm. if you've tried therapy, if you've hired a sex therapist, if you've tried all the avenues and it's not working, then both of you deserve to be free of each other to find that partner. But stepping out isn't an excuse. I'm sorry.
Well, you just did right there. I like to call a mic drop.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Something I coined a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's snappy.
I've never heard it used before, ever.
Yeah, I don't know how you argue with that.
Mm-mm.
I don't know how you argue with that at all.
Covered all bases on that one.
If
he was having problems, right? To where he wasn't feeling like getting intimate. And we're talking about months and months and months. Would it be okay for him to say, hey, go ahead, get yourself an escort because I want to do this whole thing?
I mean, he could say that. That's not something I would want to do. I would try to figure out what the issue is with either his lack of arousal desire or if there was something physical going on. Like, you would go, if you're in a relationship with somebody you truly love, you're going to go to the ends of the earth
for sure
to try to fix it before you decide to part ways. And that goes for both parties.
Do you think we have like this weird, this takes us into a different debate. Do you think we have a weird definition of what love is now? Because what you just said to me is what I want to believe.
Yeah.
If you truly love somebody, you will go to the ends of the earth to make sure that the two of you guys are together, because there is nobody else out there that fits you as well.
As long as it's mutual, that's the thing. So you're both going to do that. If one person is doing it and the other is not, well, then that's just you're putting self out. You're not going to do it to your own detriment, right? So if you're both willing to do that and to try, and then you come to the conclusion, yeah, we did everything we could, it's time to part ways, that's great. I wouldn't encourage somebody to stay in a marriage, a loveless marriage, a sexless marriage, and keep trying and doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different response, and to stay in it, because then you're doing all this for naught and to your own detriment. You both have to be in it to win it.
That would be my only pushback with what Cass said, because I do think this is rare. I don't think this happens often. But what if that guy or that woman, either one, really did do all of that work and they don't want to leave? Because my first thought was the same. Like, you can leave. Cheating is never an option because you can leave. Mm-hmm. But I never thought about a person who has felt like they've done all the work, their partner's still not meeting them halfway, and they simply don't want to leave. Like, you, that's still your person. You still want to be married to them, but they're just not meeting right your expectations in that area. Then what do you do?
Well, I think what would change it for me is, I mean, maybe some of these men are stepping out on the relationship, quote unquote, but maybe they have permission from their wives. Like, maybe their wives are just sick of having sex, and maybe they've given him the permission to step out. And I still think that's sad and lonely, and I feel like it's a fast food answer to this kind of problem. But for me, I think we're making the assumption that it's almost like they're cheating on their wives, but maybe there's some kind of mutual agreement that they're allowed to step out and get that area fulfilled.
I mean, the percentages you're talking about of those couples are pretty low.
Listen, all the other facets of this problem have already been spoken. I'm just trying to find the one that hasn't been vocalized.
Okay,
I was
enough.
The last one to go. Okay, give me a break.
I would like to request some escort research, because it sounds like they're more than just physical. Like, she sounds like she actually ends up being a little bit of a therapist for some of these married men. So if we can get like an escort research group together, and they get questions from these men, and why they're doing what they're doing and what they have done to save their marriage before getting to this point,
okay,
I think that could actually be very beneficial, useful information for future marriages.
Mo, you want to head this one up?
Yeah, he wants to know if he can expense it.
I'll take care of it.
The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
I hate learning about behind-the-scenes stuff with my favorite shows, because sometimes I feel like it just ruins it for me. Like, I just heard something about a show that I really love on Netflix that kind of changed the whole context for it when I was watching it. But before we get into that, since we were just talking about sex workers in the last break, I thought I'd bring this up. So Jelly Roll is an what?
Just the way Mo was looking down and you said sex workers. I kid you not, he went,
I wasn't ready.
Finally.
He's like the mole that comes out of the hole when you're playing whack-a-mole.
Sex? It was pretty priceless.
I'm glad somebody's finally paying attention to me. Love this.
All you got to do is talk about sex workers.
Works every time.
You've got his attention.
It's like my old Adam and Eve ad. That's why I literally always started with sex, and then I got everyone's attention. It was really annoying for a while, but you know what? It worked. They signed with me for a year. Hell yeah. All right, anyway, so Jelly Roll, he's an up-and-coming country artist, and his wife is celebrating 1 year she's celebrating being retired from being a sex worker for a whole year. And they got married back in 2016, but she even continued to be a sex worker after they got married. So, gentlemen, I'm a little curious, like, how would you feel about your woman being a sex worker?
She was a prostitute? She's calling herself a sex worker.
Kristen.
Oh, sorry. Uh-huh. What's the difference?
I had no idea. I don't think there is one.
It's a nice name.
Yeah.
This article is calling it sex worker. So
I mean, is a sex worker also like OnlyFans?
Yeah. So it could be OnlyFans.
Oh, okay, then that's different.
Your feet pics. If you sell those.
Oh my gosh, we're sex workers now.
Save that. I mean, it depends what kind of work we're talking here. So long as A stays out of B, I'm fine. If it's like, if you're online showing some of your parts and stuff, I could get past all that, but.
No face, no problem?
No face, no case.
But, I mean, if we're talking about the traditional sex worker, then I couldn't
do
that.
Yeah, no.
I don't think I could do it either way, be honest. I'm too jealous of a guy. I couldn't do it.
So what if, like, now we're going, like, back to, like, you know, the movie Pretty Woman. So what if you are dating a woman and you find out that she hasn't done it in years, but, like, a decade ago, that was her profession?
When you say she's done it, like, you mean A and the B?
Yep, A
and
the B.
H on P?
Yes.
Oof.
H on P. Sure.
That might be tough for me to get past.
Oh, yeah, all of it.
Tough for you to get past.
Yep, I don't think I can get past it.
So let me ask you this question.
Uh-huh.
While we're here, Mom. So let's say you were dating a sex worker that had this financial exchange, also physical exchange, A and B, and she did it, let's say, 40 times, okay? She had 40 different appointments.
She was going through a very low time in her life. And needed the cash, and this was the best way for her to make the money.
All right, but there's money exchange, but sex is sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plan B here. That's probably a bad one.
Option B.
There you go. Yeah.
Option B. Option B here.
If the shoe fits.
Option B here is you're starting to go out with a woman that there was no money ever exchanged, but she said that she's had 35 or 40 partners in her past. Is there any difference? Paid, unpaid?
Yes, there's a difference.
There is.
There's a difference. Because to me, I mean, and I don't know what the scenario was for if you were not doing it for exchange of money, but typically, just me, I'd like to believe that if my lady, she could have been as intimate as she has been in the past, but I'd like to think it was for more reasons of you actually thought you was developing a relationship with somebody as opposed to if you literally are just doing it for financial gain. Those, to me, are two completely different things.
Well, some people just like sex.
That's awesome.
Might as well make money.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I mean, if a guy told me that he used to be a sex worker, because, you know, you don't want to judge somebody for their past, but...
I don't know, I'm sensing a little judginess happening.
Oh, it's happening. It's more than a little. No, if I was dating a dude and he told me, like, you know, back in the day he used to be a sex worker, I don't think I could get past that.
Is it a sheer numbers game? So let's say he had 25 clients and you also, again, option B, you meet some dude that said that he had 25 physical partners. Is it the same?
It's not. Yeah, it's not the numbers thing. It's
like a mindset thing.
Yeah.
More than a numbers thing.
Yeah.
I would just think she was really super entrepreneurial.
There is that for sure.
Get your money.
Well, Jelly Roll said that he had no problem with her doing it.
We kind of, you know, she just kind of took to me, and she was really making money in the sex work industry, like real money. Like I didn't know that existed. I didn't have a problem with it. You know, I was like, if it's that high end, I'm cool with whatever.
And she was making so much money that she was even helping him fund his music career. So really, if you like Jelly Roll's music, you got to thank his sex worker wife, or now his sex worker wife.
Too many dudes that you can compare me to. Like, you could say, like there's going to be a lot of pressure there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody that's been with one or two people, so there's just not a lot of comparisons.
You feel like the man in that relationship. Not that other one, no.
Comparison is a thief of joy.
Truth.
For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
So I'm picturing in my head, it goes like this, right? She's at work and her friend Becky comes in one Monday morning, and Becky had some Botox done. And our listener goes, oh, you look great. Botox looks great. Looks really, really good. And a couple of weeks later, Becky shows back up to the office and, I don't know, give me another. Lips.
She wants some filler.
Some filler. Is that in the face or the lip?
Both.
Okay. So she walks back into the office, and now she's got some filler in her lips. And our listener's like, okay, it's looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of weeks later, she comes to the office, and she's got a nose job. And then she's had her ears done. And then she had her throat done. And then she's had everything done.
People normally call it a neck. I can't remember the last time I went to Atlanta Face and Body and said, fix my throat.
Yeah, I need that throat work.
Gotta become the throat goat.
And then at some point, Becky walks into the office, and our listener says to Becky, hey, I wonder if Becky's coming in today. And Becky's like, no, it's me in here, because she looks so different. So she was wondering to us on Friday, like, should I say something to my friend who's doing so many changes to her face that it just doesn't even look like her anymore?
And again, she hadn't asked her friend for any advice or any opinions. She's just, this is just what she's doing.
Yeah, so she wanted our opinions because of it's a delicate situation, obviously. And it's a coworker, but they've become good friends. And so she feels like her appearance has changed so drastically that she literally can't tell who she is, but she don't want her to feel judged or shamed because she's not trying to judge her, but she's genuinely concerned. And I feel like our general consensus was if you're not asked for that information, you probably should not deliver it unless you are like extremely close friends, which I don't believe they exactly are.
So yeah. People have body dysmorphia. They also have facial dysmorphia mm-hmm. as well.
So what did she do over the weekend with our advice? Kristen has the follow-up email.
After hearing what you all had to say, I had originally decided to keep my thoughts to myself about her appearance. But I changed my mind after a conversation we had Friday evening. She started complaining about still being single despite going on lots of first dates. She typically finds guys on various dating apps, but none of them turned into anything more than a first date. So I asked to see her profile on these apps. She showed me, and the problem is obvious. The pictures she uses looks significantly different from her current appearance. She's using a photo from about 5 years ago. When I pointed this out, she vehemently disagreed. She thinks she looks nearly the same. She accused me of saying she looks old now. This is obviously not the change I'm talking about. So I decided to be honest and say her difference in appearance is due to the procedures and not aging. She totally disagreed and thinks it's the procedures that have kept her appearance from aging. So it seems she was doing this to try to maintain her looks and has no idea how it's done the opposite. I left the conversation there because it seemed like she was being very defensive. However, knowing this is obviously affecting her potential for a relationship, I feel bad that she doesn't see the truth.
So I don't know a lot about this industry, but it certainly feels like less than 100% truth when like women in their 20s are saying like, no, I get the Botox now so I don't have to deal with wrinkles in the future. Is that true?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
that's the whole purpose of it for sure. I mean, that's why I started doing neurotoxins. I started with Botox. I do Xeomin now. I don't know a lot about injectables, but I know enough. And I started doing it in my late 20s. And it's helped me to not, like, it doesn't fully prevent them, but my face isn't nearly as wrinkled as it would be had I never started.
Oh, yeah? Would you look like a Shar Pei?
Probably. Working on this show and all the WTF moments, those 11s would be way, way deeper. Thank you very much.
So I don't know really what you do with this. I mean, she doesn't see it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think for the person who got the plastic surgery, I think they're eventually going to have to come to their own conclusions about their appearance. And as you guys know, I recently got a nose job, and I was telling somebody about how it's affected how I view myself and my appearance and my beauty ever since I got it done. And I think what most people don't go in expecting when they have plastic surgery is that half of the emotional process is also accepting that this is just how you look. There's only so much you can change. Your anatomy is your anatomy. And I think a lot of people go into plastic surgery thinking, I'm going to go under the knife and it's going to fix me. I'm going to look like a different person. But the reality is you're just going to look like yourself, but different. And it seems like this person has gone down a path of trying to turn into a different person because they don't like the way they look for whatever reason. And it's turned into them now looking like a worse version of the person that they were. And it's very, very sad. So I think this is a lesson she's going to learn the hard way, especially in dating. Like, people aren't going to be kind and gentle with you. So I think she's just going to have to figure out that she needs to stop on her own, but she has to come to that conclusion on her by herself.
The nose job you got, I would consider slight. So psychologically and confidence wise, has it done anything, or has there been any surprises since you got anything done?
No, for sure. I mean, like, I just got a bunch of wedding photos back from this weekend, and it's like the first thing that I notice is I'm like, oh my God, my mom just sent me a side profile photo. And normally my nose is the first thing that I would see because I had a very prominent nose, and I always just felt like it sort of threw off my face that I like. I'm like, I think I have a great face. I just think that my nose sometimes just totally throws off the balance of it. And she just sent me this photo that normally I probably would have hated because it's a side pic. And I'm like, I look pretty good in that picture, actually. Okay. So, for me, it's been a positive thing, but it's definitely, you have to relearn your face, if that makes sense. Like, sometimes seeing my face in pictures is a little jarring. So I'm like, oh, I look different, but I like the way it looks.
Okay. All right, Katie, here's a question for you. Are you supposed to wish somebody a happy birthday if they are trying to ignore their birthday?
I've been asked that a couple of times.
I've been confused all morning.
Yeah,
this is hard. What are you supposed to do?
This is going
to
take some recapping here.
Yeah, so I'm really not a big fan of birthdays, and I can only count on probably one hand how many great birthdays that I can definitely define as memorable for me. And so leading up to this birthday, which is my 30th, I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. Did I want to do something? Did I not? And then in the last minute, I was like, yeah, I kind of want to do something. Then as I'm planning to do something, I'm like, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to do it. And this is like this little cloud over me, like, Katie, no, we're not going to celebrate our birthday. And here we are. So
you also have some heavy stuff going on in your life also, where you just weren't feeling like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
she's on the right headspace.
Yeah. Like, there's somebody else in your life going through a lot of pain, so you feel like you celebrate and it doesn't feel right for you.
No, especially not when I have a family member going through something I know is tough for them. And I'm like, I don't want to do anything for my birthday. I don't want to celebrate my birthday at all. But it's not to the point where people have been like, Katie, do we say happy birthday to you? That's fine. It's that. It's like what I'm going to do with my day that I feel is what I've been conflicted about.
Right. So I texted Katie on Friday and asked her if it was okay if we acknowledged her birthday because I wanted to honor her wishes. And she said yes. So we could mention on air, it's Katie's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
30. And it's so funny you mentioned that you have had some memorable birthdays in the past. You actually spoke about one of those memorable birthdays. Mm-hmm. And Cassie had her listening ears on. Tell her to come on in. Had her listener ears on. So we got you something special for your birthday.
Oh, man. That the candle just went out as she walked in. I don't know if that's an omen or not.
That is a big-ass candle.
To infinity and beyond.
Because what did you say on the air recently?
Okay, so one of my memorable birthdays, it was my 7th birthday, and all I wanted was a Buzz Lightyear, like, cake. And I got a Buzz Lightyear cake that I loved to death, and I was just so excited to have that. And you all brought me in a cake with Buzz Lightyear on it.
I love it.
Thank you.
Fire.
And only one candle, so anybody in here can handle that.
So it says, happy unbirthday, Katie. And it's kind of perfect because the cake has slid off the plate a little bit. The icing got smudged, and there's a one giant, like, candelabra-style candle, so it is an unbirthday cake.
But it's a great birthday cake. All right.
All right, so make a wish.
Okay.
So she wishes she was 29 again.
No.
I wish everybody would leave me alone.
I need clear thoughts, okay?
Yay! Hey.
Thank you all so much.
You're so welcome.
Happy day.
Thank you.
Happy day.
Oh, happy
Have
day.
A happy day.
Happy March 11th.
Yes. Seriously, don't think the show has ever ended so awkwardly before.
That's on Katie.
Yeah. I'll accept that.
Let's eat cake. Woo!
It's the Bird Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bird Show.